So I was going through my notes, and as he was going, I was circling stuff and going, all right, I don't have to cover that, I don't have to cover that. So just for those of you who don't know my background, I was a history teacher for a long time, and much of what I taught was how to study. I didn't just teach the content, especially my AP classes. It was all about how do you study? How do you break down this item? And so this is something that when Jeremy called me, I thought, well, I could go about 4 days on this, but I won't keep you that long. In fact, as a history teacher, one of the other things I learned as a teacher is the bell's going to ring when the bell's going to ring, right? Second hour ended at 8:48. So I will stop on time because I know there's pizza coming, and if I go over, it'll get ugly real quick. First thing I want to mention that Paul did not, and I'll try just to focus on things that he didn't talk about, which he probably had in his notes and just didn't cover. But the first thing I want to talk about is just the difference between reading and studying. Those are two very, very different things. Those are both very important as Christians that we're spending our time doing, but they're different. Reading, to me, is the basics. Reading is the background. Reading, the nice thing is, especially now, we can do anywhere, right? I mean, pretty much everybody has their phone. I don't know, sitting in the back, lots of you were looking at your phones when passages were mentioned, and fortunately, nobody was looking at ESPN that I saw. They were all looking at passages. But I can be in line at the DMV, and I can read a psalm or two. I'm at the DMV. I can read all the Psalms and Ecclesiastes. But it's not going to be that focused. It's not going to be something that is necessarily going to be. It's going to be more a review. It's going to be, oh yeah, I kind of forgot that part or whatever. When I taught, I had at lunch frequently. I'd sit and read my Bible during lunch. But another teacher would come in. A student would come in with a question. I wasn't accomplishing as much as when I study, as Paul said. Again, very important, very worthwhile. I'm a big football fan. I love football. One of the things you always see is after the game, the coach goes, you know, they ask him about something. They say, well, you know, I'm not really sure. I have to look at the tape. That to me is the difference. The game you just watched, that was reading. Looking at the tape is studying. What's that coach going to do? He's going to look at every single play. He's going to look at every play multiple times. He's going to look at what every single player did, who did what they were supposed to, who didn't. That's what studying is. And that's what I really want to spend my time on. Again, we should all be reading. Pick a plan. Go through it. Whatever it is you want to do. But what I want to focus is going beyond that, which is the studying. So what's the difference? Well, as Paul pointed out, partially it's your purpose. If I'm studying, I've got something that I'm trying to study for. And as he said, it could be to prepare for a sermon. It could be prepared to give a class. It could be a kid's class. It could be a middle school class. It could be all kinds of things. It could be to prepare for a class that I'm going to be in, right? So your congregation Wednesday nights is studying the book of John. You should be studying John on your own so that when class time comes on Wednesday night, you're ready. You're ready to prepare. You've got a question. You've got a thought. You've got an idea. If nothing else, you're going to track more with the speaker. I could always tell in my history classes the kids who had done the reading and those who hadn't. And oftentimes it was by the questions they asked. You know, it's like, oh, you know, who's Columbus again? So if they hadn't done any of the background work, it was very, very obvious. Or they were lost or asleep or whatever the case might be. Maybe I just want to get to know a character better. Maybe I just want to study more about Peter or John or Paul or whoever. You know, pick a character. There's lots of them in the Bible. Maybe I want to do some sort of a compare-contrast. I want to compare-contrast the different Gospels with each other. I want to compare-contrast different apostles. I want to compare-contrast different kings. Whatever it might be. These are all things that I could do. I want to learn the chronology better. When did these things happen in relationship to each other? Maybe I need to deal with a problem that I have, right? Maybe I know that this is something I'm struggling with. That would be a great thing to study on. How did people in the Bible that had that problem deal with it? What are some warnings in the Bible for me about that problem? Maybe I just want to be prepared to step in if needed. Smart Road, I know we've got a few men that have said, I've got a sermon ready, just in case. You know, if the guy who's going to give the sermon doesn't show up. I've got one in the bag just in case. That's a great strategy. Just have a sermon. Just write a sermon even if you're not on the schedule. I know a lot of women who have written a lot of sermons, never to be given, never to be shown to anybody, but they understand that that's a great way to study, right? The time and effort that those of us that give sermons know that takes. There's women that said, I need to do that. Okay, that's great. Maybe you're never going to teach a class for whatever reason, but you can still prepare as if you're going to. Maybe you could study a sermon that's already been given. A lot of congregations, we record the sermons. Go back, listen to it. Look up the passages that were mentioned in passing. Look at how you might have amended that sermon. You know, I would have probably spent more time on this, and then study what you would have added or changed. Not to be critical, not to go up to the person later and say, oh, you didn't do this, but just to increase your understanding, your knowledge. So there's lots of different purposes or reasons or strategies or whatever you can take. As Paul said, just pick one that works for you and do it, okay? Sit down and do it. And as he said, have a time, a place, a process that works for you. Another big thing to me that makes a study different than just reading is that if I'm doing a study, I'm going to create a product of some sort. Now, again, sometimes the product drives the study. If I'm preparing for a sermon, the sermon is the product. When I'm done with my study, I've got a sermon prepared. If I'm preparing for a class, that class is the product. But what about some of those other things, a problem I'm dealing with? I'm probably not going to create some handout. Hey, everybody, here's a problem I've got. I want you to know. But I still should create some sort of a product. I should take some sort of notes. I should go sit down and create something. And there's lots of things you can do. There's lots of things, and it's going to vary from person to person. This is one of the things I told my students. It's, you know, how this person takes notes is going to be different than that this person. The key is you take notes. The key is you have something that you're going to do. So if I am studying, then I'm going to have, again, for me, I'm still old school. I still got the legal pad. My son is going to be on the computer because he doesn't believe in paper. But I'm going to have something written down, something at the end that I can look back to. In fact, one of the critical things is Paul was kind of talking through having a plan, a place, begin and end with prayer. These are all things right off my notes. But one of the key things I have in my notes is to review what I've already studied. Well, if I didn't create a product, how do I review what I've already done? So again, I'm assuming that what I'm talking about here is maybe once a week, maybe every Thursday, maybe 2 days. It depends. All of you are different. Again, I'm fortunate. I'm retired. I don't have kids at home to deal with, whatever. I can spend every single day intensely studying the Word. But I know 20 years ago, if I would have had 2 hours a week, that would have been probably pretty good to intensely study the Word. So I'm going to create some sort of a note. When I go back to it, first thing I'm going to do, review what I've already done. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to have to reread. If I'm doing a study of the book of John, I don't want to be stuck in chapter 1 for 5 years because I can't remember what I did last time. So that product helps me to remember what I've done. I can build on that. Maybe it's something I'm going to go back to years later. All right, so that's something that, again, if I've got this product, then I can go through and look at and study. Again, what's that going to be? It's going to vary from person to person, and it's going to depend on what it is I'm studying. It could be a chart, some sort of just a list. It could be a summary. It could be a map. It could be a combination of all those different things. It's interesting to me, kids come up from class, right? We have class, kids go downstairs for class, the bell rings, the kids come upstairs, and they're all carrying something. They've got a piece of paper with cotton balls glued to it. They've got a funny hat. They've got something. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember that for weeks, if not months. Sitting in the adult class, we're all sitting there, and half hour later, I can say, hey, what do you think of so-and-so's comment? And they're going, do we talk about John today? You know, so that product helps us to remember. My wife takes notes during sermons. Driving home, she'll talk about things. She's not looking at her notes, but she remembers specific things about the sermon that I've already forgotten because she wrote it down. That physical act of writing something down helps it to stick in your memory. So create some sort of a product. Create something that you can look back on. Ideally, you have some sort of a way to organize that. That's one of my struggles. I've got file cabinet drawers full of stuff that next year I'm going to get that or the year after that, or anyway. So, but hopefully you've got some sort of way that you can access that and make use of that. I've got two in particular I'll just mention in passing. One of the things I made my kids do it in my high school class, I had a thing called combination notes. Combination notes, this is kind of a rough outline of what the paper looked like. I actually ran off paper like this, and I had kids that we'd go through hundreds and hundreds of sheets of this, just with lines on it. But there's three parts to this, so you combine three different kinds of notes. So in the one column, you have just an outline, right? We all have an outline, right? Many of you are writing stuff down. That's your outline. So I'm reading through the book of John, and I'm jotting down some notes. I'm putting stuff in my own words. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. This other side is visual. And that's a lot harder, especially for me. I am not at all artistic. I actually had to take an art class in college. First day of class, the teacher said, everybody can learn to be an artist. End of the semester, he actually came up and said, I've kind of changed my thoughts on that. You have no artistic ability whatsoever. So this one's really hard for me. But you create something visual, something to go. So I've got a line over here that says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with John. So I'm going to draw maybe just a little picture of a Bible over here. Just something that's visual, something I can glance at and see. Brain research says, number one, by writing it down, I'm more likely to remember it. If I write down a grocery list, get to the grocery store, don't have a list, I probably remember most of the items. And for some reason, Snickers bars was always on that list. But I'm gonna remember most of that stuff just because I wrote it down. Well, brain research says if I've done this side over here, I've had to think of it in a totally different way. So my brain has processed it even more. I'm even more likely to remember it. And then in the bottom is just a summary. Bottom is just, I've read through, maybe this is the first chapter, John, maybe this is the whole book. And again, it's what works for you. But I'm just going to, in my own words, jot down a sentence or two. That's a summary. This is going to go in a file. I'm going to be able to look at it. Again, in my history classes, my kids would do this with every chapter. Well, they were supposed to do this with every chapter in the textbook. I had a kid one year that first test, D. Second test, D+. Hey, there's some personal growth. Third test, C-. Fourth test, B+. 2 points away from an A. What do you do? How things change? And maybe you're sitting by a smart kid. He said, I finally did the combo notes. I said, somebody should have told you about those. But the thing is, that can work. Now, it doesn't work for everybody. I had kids who just refused to do it. Doesn't work for me. I don't want it. It's too hard. It's not worth the points. Whatever. That's fine. But this can be very, very helpful. So I mentioned that. Another thing is what are called soapstone notes. Soapstone notes. The S is the S is the speaker. So who wrote this? And again, this is something in my history class. Anything, a picture, a map, a speech, whatever. So you could do this for an entire book of the Bible. You could do this for the Sermon on the Mount. You could do this for whatever. Speaker, who is speaking? Who wrote this? Who said this? Who made this statement? Whatever. So the O in soapstone, occasion. What was the occasion? Why was this being written? What's going on at the time? Is this an answer to something? Right. So just think of a lot of the epistles where there was some false teaching going on. The occasion is they're addressing this particular false teaching, whatever. The A is the audience. Who is this written to? Or who is the sermon given to? Or who is this person explaining things to, whatever. So who's the audience? Who heard this? The P in soapstone is purpose. Why was this done? In other words, what was it they were trying to say? What was it they were trying to teach or learn or whatever the thing might be? So that's the soap part, speaker, occasion, audience, purpose. The second S is subject. Subject. This gets a little bit lengthier. This is more the key points. This is the specifics. So purpose is kind of big picture. This is why they were saying these things. Subject is more, he said this, and he talked about this, or he talked about hospitality being important. He talked about, forgiving others being important, etc. So I've got a more detailed list. And then the last one is tone. What was the attitude of the speaker? Were they being encouraging? Was this more of a tongue lashing? Was this rah-rah, we can do this, that type of thing. So you just jot these down. Again, my students, I'd hand out a whatever, Gettysburg Address, and they were right at the start. They would be up at the top writing down speaker, audience, occasion, et cetera, because that were things they had to do on the test they were going to take eventually. But again, this is something we can do. This gives me a product. I've got this little blurb of notes that I can file away, and then I can look back to. So I don't have to reread the whole book or reread the whole thing. I can build from there next time. So those are a couple of specific products that I have found very helpful. Again, there's lots of other things. The key is what works for you. Do that. And so that's important. Couple of other things I want to mention. Whatever you're going to study, whatever you're going to attempt to tackle, keep it manageable. Right? Again, everybody's different. Everybody's got different time constraints, abilities, reading abilities, et cetera, et cetera. This is the time of year. A lot of times people are starting, you know, their New Year's resolutions, all that kind of stuff. Don't say, well, I'm going to, you know, memorize all the Gospels in chronological order from start to finish in the original Greek. No, you're not. That's not going to happen, all right? So maybe your goal is just, I'm going to spend one day a week, 2 hours a day, and I'm going to focus on this particular issue. Okay, that I would think is doable. So whatever it is, keep it manageable. I came across a quote. I don't even know who this person is. I'll mention his name, Howard Hendricks. But the quote was, small and consistent beats grandiose and occasional. If your study plan is something you can consistently do, it's going to be much more beneficial than, I spent 8 hours on this Saturday, and then I didn't pick up my Bible for 3 weeks because I was so worn out. That doesn't really help. That repetition is really critical. So keep it manageable. Keep it manageable as far as where you're going to study, how you're going to study. Do you listen? Is music on? Is music off? It depends on the person. All that kinds of thing. But make it manageable. Review, which I've already said. Do something when you're done with that study to make it stick. Do something to make it stick. Write something down that you're going to, you know, a little note card you're going to carry. Come up with a very practical application that you're going to be able to utilize. Do something that's going to make it stick. Share what you're studying with someone. It doesn't have to be detailed. It doesn't have to be, you know, again, a whole sermon. But just, and it can be very casual, right? Next time you're talking to somebody Wednesday night at church, say, hey, I've been studying this, and did you remember? Blah, 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 or something like that. It helps it stick in your mind. It gives some accountability. It lets people know that you're studying. Maybe they should study as well. But just share it with someone. You know, if you've got a spouse, that's great. If you've got a friend you trust, whoever it might be. Could be somebody at work that's not a Christian. You know, what a great opportunity there. I worked down the hall from a woman, and it got to the point where she used to say, so how was your weekend other than church? You know, so that was kind of what her response would be. But anyway, do that. And then the last thing I'll say is reward yourself, okay? Do something, you know, when you get done with some sort of stuff, whatever it might be, a particular book, a particular topic, whatever, do something to reward yourself for that, to encourage you to do the next one. Right, so it doesn't have to be anything grand. It doesn't have to be, you know, go out and buy that cool sports car or whatever. Although if you could pull that off, you know, yay for you. But just something small that you can say, hey, I did that. Here's my reward, and now I can step forward. So speaking of rewards, I saw the pizza come in, and time is up. So I am going to go ahead and stop there. I appreciate your attention, and hopefully that was of some benefit to you.